If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Matthew 7?
And I've got Bibles here for anybody who wants.
And if you don't mind, would y'all stand with me while we read God's Word in honor of His Word? We're Matthew 7. You take your time, find your place and all. Matthew 7, verse 21 is where we're starting.
Anybody need any?
If you're not familiar with the Bible, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, 7th chapter.
Yep.
Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I'll announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Lord, you tell us through the prophet Isaiah that your word never returns void.
That's right.
And you know, that your word always produces. And Lord, we ask that you soften our hearts this morning. Lord, we ask that you speak through me, Lord, that nobody hears a single word of my own, but hears your voice. Lord, we pray in your name and the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If y'all don't mind, I want to tell you my testimony this morning. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it's relevant to the text. And so, I was born and y'all don't laugh at this, all right? I was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, okay? And I'm really proud of it. If y'all watched football, we saw the Golden Eagles last night, like, they held the Mississippi State for a while, but as always, they got the butts whooped. But go Dogs, right? Yeah, there you go. I see a lot of black and red this morning. I was born into a Christian family. Both my parents were Sunday school teachers. My mother was a secretary at the church. My granddad was a deacon. He went to Honduras and in Russia every year of my life. He was a captain in the Navy. He holds three patents to the original light bulb that makes the flash in the camera. So the first camera flash he helped invent, he was a student at Georgia Tech. A guy I really look up to, a great Christian guy. Grandmother was president of the Joy Club, which is the, I don't see no gray hair. Well, there's a little bit of hair. It's the old people's club. But you know, as far as back as I can remember, I was always at church. Southern Baptist Church. If the doors were open, I was there. I mean, I was a kid. I can remember running the church halls while whatever was going on, playing football up on the third floor while the adults were doing whatnot down there. I mean, just always in church. And you know, as I grew up, I was that in the middle school ministry, and I was that kid that went to every single camp. You know, youth pastor didn't have to call my house and ask if I was going. I mean, I was the first one that signed up. Always there on Wednesday night. Y'all get the idea, just the kid that was always at church. But here's the problem, is that our family don't save us. Going to church don't save us. So all these different things that we can do don't save us. They're good things, don't get me wrong. But that's not salvation. And I was, y'all know the parable of the four soils? Matter of fact, my mind went blank. What's your buddy's name, Jeff? Preached here about 4 weeks ago.
Thank you
very much, okay? He preached on four soils, if he was here 4 weeks ago or so. That, by the way, that's where I get that number 75%. If you notice, only one of the four soils took seed.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but I was the soil on the rocky ground. I sprang up quickly. And for years, I looked the part. I mean, I bet if my parents would have been asked at any point in time, they would have said, oh yeah, he's going to heaven. No doubt. But I had no root. I never produced any fruit. I was just there. And as soon as the persecution came, and as the parable says that it's the son that withers this one, and you know, as soon as the evil one persecuted me, which in my life came in the form of freedom. You ever think freedom be persecution? Or pressure? Sorry.
Yeah.
I got my driver's license at 15 years old. And I'm not talking learner's permit. Well, there's some stereotypes in Mississippi that's right. You know, we ain't the smartest ones on the block, apparently. And I'll tell you how they taught me how to swim in Mississippi. This is no joke, y'all. You talking about creeks earlier. All the creeks and rivers in Mississippi, and it really made me think of it, they're black. I mean, you go in the water, you can't see that far. It's not dirty. I mean, it's probably cleaner than y'all's clean rivers up here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the dirt it runs through. But they're all real deep, dark, and run real slow. But anyway, teach me how to swim. And y'all keep in mind, my parents paid for this. All right? I was at the YMCA, and a guy tied a rope to my waist and threw me in the river. No joke.
Paid for that.
Yes. Okay. After, you know, about turn, you know, they pull me in. I'm thinking, oh, it's over. Nope. Go back again. You're going to keep going until you come back on your own terms. And so, you know, eventually I learned to swim.
Wow.
But, you know, as you see, we weren't always the smartest ones. So I got my driver's license 15 years old. I was a freshman in high school. I never built any roots. And with this newfound freedom, I didn't last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Within 6 months, I was camping out every weekend with my drink of choice, Jim Beam and Jack Daniels. This is before my 16th birthday. Started smoking pot. It went spiraled quickly from there. By my 17th birthday, I was smoking pot every day, skipping school once a week, experimenting with every drug known to man. Just kept going down. Fast forward a little bit. 20 years old, I married my high school sweetheart. I tell you, God's watching out with me with that girl. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. I wish she was here. Y'all gonna meet her one day. And right about a year later, we had our first job. And this was my first real encounter with God. Kaylee was born at 2 pounds, 10 ounces. Born at 7 months. All right, no exaggeration. The first time I held her, her head sat right here, and her bottom sat right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, doctors came in and told us, your daughter's going to be blind. Your daughter's going to be mentally handicapped. Your daughter's going to have to be on oxygen for months. I mean, just started listing all this stuff. She's 14 now. Other than being a teenager, she's perfect.
That's right.
That's
all right. Crazy.
that is God. Praise Let me God. Tell you. I remember when she was born that the doctor, and I wish I'd been more mature in my faith then because I could have gave him the answer, but he went, pulled him out, and I mean, there was probably 20 doctors and nurses in this room. I mean, it was crazy. My second one was we had to induce labor, and the two pregnancies were totally different. But that first one, the room was packed, and everybody's, it looked like something off of that show ER. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
It's still on anymore, but anyway. I mean, it was crazy, but she came out, and the doctor grabbed the oxygen and went and put it on. He went, she's breathing fine. I don't understand this.
Praise God.
And if I'd have been a little bit more mature in my faith then, I'd have said, I understand it. Or if I'd even known God then, I'd have said, I understand it.
That's yes.
God. That is God.
Yes.
That was a miracle, the first time ever I really saw God. So, when Kaylee was born, we started going back to church again. But it was the same thing. I mean, if you would have caught me on the street and asked me, hey, is Jesus Lord? I'd have said, oh, yeah. Yep, he's Lord. But I never did anything with it. You ever heard of what a pew warmer is?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Look, Let me tell you a little secret. Us pastors,
we like the pews to be full. Okay? And some of us will just pour Kool-Aid out to you so you'll come in here and fill the seats. Alright? I don't get to pulpit that much, so I don't have time to mess around.
Come on.
Y'all gonna get treated today.
Well, alright? Preach.
Alright? So anyway, it went on and on and on. I started doing drugs again. It got worse. Wasn't long before I become a heroin addict. Was on heroin for about 3 years. There you go. I say, hey, go looking back.
I'm not going to say it's the worst drug of all because each has its own. This is booger. Let me tell you. It will grab hold of you. It will drag you down. It will take you and everybody with you. All right?
If you know somebody on heroin, get on your knees. Because God's the only one that's going to help them.
Yes.
So it wasn't long I was on probation. Now, ironically, I wasn't on probation for heroin. I got caught with the pot. And so I was on probation up here in the great county of Cherokee. And eventually just said, forget it. I quit going to probation. I said, they ain't going to mess with me. They come to my house and got me, and I spent a little over 2 weeks in jail. And I don't want you to raise your hands, but anybody been in jail here? All right, this is going to sound weird to you. Best 2 weeks of my life.
Thank you.
God spoke to me so much.
Thank you.
And if you've ever been to jail, especially Cherokee County, there ain't nothing there. You don't get outside time. You get this little makeshift basketball court, like 15-foot goal. It's impossible to play on. There's nothing to do. And thank God for that, because all I had to do was read my Bible and study and go to Bible studies and do different things, you know, do different things for Him. And if any point during all this, if I would have died, I would have been one of these that was sitting here, we're talking about in chapter 7. I would have said, but God, didn't I say that prayer?
Mm-hmm.
Aren't I forgiven? I said that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to your Bible and show me the sinner's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. You know what?
It's not in there.
It ain't in there. I'd have been standing in God, in front of God, and that's scary, guys. I don't know where you're at in your life, but think about this. All right, you're going to stand in front of Jesus. You know?
Amen.
All right, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
No cutting around. All right. And in this chapter, He's not talking to the world.
Come on.
He's not talking to those that are heathens. He's talking to people that are church-going people that think they're in right standing with God.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's who He's talking to. And you think that you and your friends standing in front of Jesus and thinking that you're going to heaven or you know, thinking you're going to get around it somehow. And you kind of start going into the gate there, and you know, like a bouncer, he grabs you. Where are you going? I'll tell you. You're going to say, but Lord, Lord, and you're not going to be able to bargain with it. He's going to say, go. Guess what the Bible says? Those are people who are going to go where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal torment. I would have been that person. So, 5 years after jail, God called me in ministry. And just very quickly, and this is getting way off track, but you know, this is kind of, I guess, nicknamed CR Church. I see a lot of y'all from CR, so I know a lot of us, and all of us have hurt tattoos and things, but let's go ahead and call it what it is.
Thank you.
All right. God can use you. God will use you. God has a plan for you. If He can use me, He can use you, I promise.
Amen. Yes, He can. Amen.
I was the worst of the worst. All right. And even after I felt in right standing with God, I was sitting there bargaining with him like Moses did. God, I mean, I'm a redneck. Nobody's going to listen to me. Mm-hmm. Look at my accent. That's the only place I feel real comfortable. Because Ronnie sounds more country than I do. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Look, Mississippi just be called a hillbilly. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
That's right.
That's it. But he called me into ministry, and listen, I'm not giving the full testimony, but as time went on, and I would love if they would have me to tell y'all this one Tuesday night, because it's just a cool, real God moments. Nothing of my doing, but as time went on, he called me into full-time ministry, and now I'm a full-time evangelist. And I preach wherever they'll have me, and hopefully about once a month on average is what I'm hitting right now anyway. But and it's all because of God. I never thought I would be here when I was doing heroin. Never. I never thought I was worth being here.
Come on.
You know, and I tell you, biblically, women may not be called to be preachers. God speak through them. And I'll tell you, God has really, really spoke through you to me in a couple areas. And I love what you said this morning, you know, that I've been unfaithful, Lord. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but was that it?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I've been unfaithful. I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy to carry a message as sacred as the gospel. I just thank the Lord he lets me do it. So I run a ministry, JesusTheCure.com, and it's a faith-based ministry, which means 100% of my salary comes from donations and love offerings and whatnot. And I have to rely on God. He provides every single thing for me. There's no guarantee that we're going to eat next week. But there's a guarantee that God's going to take care of us.
Yes, amen.
Because I know I'm a child of God. Now, if you're sitting here, as you said, not everybody's a child of God. If you're sitting here and you don't know it, once again, I'm not questioning your salvation. But if you don't know that you're a child of God, you're probably not.
Okay.
Because biblically it says his spirit will testify with yours. All right, that doesn't mean that a child of God doesn't have doubts. But if you just flat say, I don't know, you're probably not. All right? Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so how could somebody... That's enough about me. Let's get into this. The point I wanted to tell y'all that is that there's a couple things you noticed about my life. I was born into a Christian family. Wasn't going to save me. Went to church every day of my life. Wasn't going to save me. My parents were saved. Wasn't going to save me. I looked like a Christian. Wasn't going to save me. It wasn't until I got right with God. In jail, I got on my knees. I prayed. But guess what else I did? I gained him control of my life.
Come on. Yes.
Notice what it says, that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the gate to heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. That's his will that you give in your life. So how could anybody that goes to church and looks saved and not be saved, okay? So this isn't an exhaustive list, okay? But we're just going to go over three reasons here. All right. The first one, I don't need God because I don't have sin. I'm a good person. You ever heard that? I have.
Many times.
If you haven't heard that, you're probably not witnessing enough, because that's a big, big answer out there.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 11:28 tells us to examine ourselves. And it's talking about communion. But the bigger point here, and let me read it for you. Thought I dropped something. My Bible's falling apart.
That
is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I can't see either. My glasses are broke.
tired of up here. I don't want to go to church.
Blessing.
Y'all ever felt like that before? Tell you what. Every time I don't want to come and I come, God blesses it. He shows up, man. That tells me the devil's a booger. He wants to keep you out of it. 11:28, 1 Corinthians. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat and bread and drink the cup. See, God calls us for self-examination. And this is talking about communion, but the bigger point is that before we approach God, before we come and sit at His table, we have to examine ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the psalmist wrote that if you ask God to examine your heart, show me my sins, Lord, you're going to be revealed. Okay? That's what brings about forgiveness. Okay? But now, what do we want to do? We want to sin retail and ask for forgiveness wholesale, right? We don't talk about our sins, do we?
No.
1 John 1:10. Sorry, I'm slow this morning, y'all. If we say we don't have sin, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Somebody tells you they're not a sinner, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say they don't know God. Who here is bold enough to stand in front of God and call Him a liar? When they say that God's among us, God's with us, that's not an analogy. He's in this room right now. Where two or more of us meet, He's here.
Right.
Okay. Sitting right here in this chair right here. Who's bold enough to come up here and call Him a liar? I'm not. We all have sin, people. We're all sinners. Okay? I don't think any of us here in this group fits in this category. You might. I don't know you. If you don't know that if you're a sinner or not, you turn to Exodus. Something called the Ten Commandments. Okay? All right, we'll give you a quick little test. Anybody in here ever lied? Ever, just once.
Okay?
All right, a couple of us. All right. Anybody ever dishonored your parents?
Oh, boy.
Okay? All right, anybody ever stole? It don't matter the value. That'd be a paperclip. You took a pen that wasn't yours, I steal it. Okay? Has anybody ever murdered? Anybody ever killed anybody? Hold up now. That's a good one, right? But the Bible says that if you look at somebody, well, hey, you're going to murder.
That's
right. Oh, so who's murdered somebody now? If you've ever driven in Atlanta, you have. So it's the Ten Commandments. But James tells us also that if you've broken one of them, you've broken them all.
That's right.
Okay?
Yes.
Romans 3:23. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? Yes. If you think you're not a sinner, you come to the wrong place this morning. I want to tell you a little secret, y'all. Okay? All right, so number two. The good versus bad. The whole scale theory. Okay? Now, I'm not here to do foreign religion studies or other religious studies, but there's a lot of religion that puts... puts a lot of emphasis on works. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, before we go any further, there has to be works. All right. I'm not a math genius here. Does anybody like math at all? Okay. Anybody know math at all? Okay. It's the only analogy I can think of in my head. But in math, each side of the equation has to, and I'm not giving y'all food lesson, so we're going to math here. All right. Each side of the equation has to equal. Okay. So if it's 2 plus 2 equals 4, 4 equals 2 plus 2. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. This isn't like that. Okay. Faith equals works, but works does not equal faith.
That's good.
You see what I'm saying? All right. There's a lot of religions that put a lot into works. You see them riding bicycles up and down the road as well. You know? There's some very mainstream religions that think they're going to be their own Jesus of their own earth one day if they do this, 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 and this.
what is Muslims, you know? I want to do this, this, and this so I can get my 72 virgins.
Yeah.
Look, I got one wife. I don't want 72. Please, I love her to death. Don't get me wrong. But people have, and look, people may not come out and just straight admit this, okay? They may not come out and say, yeah, this is what I believe. But people live like this. Right? People live this way. They do this, this, and this bad, so I need to go do this, this, and this good. The whole thing, you know, Mother Teresa has to be in heaven. She did such a good job. Right? Anybody can go down there and run a soup kitchen, okay? I'm not knocking people that do that. That's not my point. But you don't have to be a Christian to do good things, okay? Those things do not get you in heaven. If the scale theory was true, it would be so tipped with sin that it would be ridiculous, and you wouldn't ever do enough good stuff to cancel out the bad. Okay.
That's right.
It says the wages of sin is death.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, unfortunately, since I've been in ministry, and if any of y'all here are in ministry, I know y'all been here, we go to a lot of funerals. Okay? I never really realized until I got into ministry, I mean, how real death is. All the hospital business, all the sickness, all that's going on. Not once have I been to a funeral where they said, yeah, Bob, he's kind of dead. I mean, he's still a little bit of alive. You know, it don't work that way. It says the wages of sin is death. Once you're dead, you're dead. The only person that can bring you back from that is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? All right. Once again, let you on a little secret. You're a sinner. Therefore, you're dead, and you need Jesus. Okay? The scale theory doesn't work. Here's the last one, all right? And I want to make very, very clear on this. I'm not talking about any pastors specifically, okay? But a general statement, because I'm not here to disrespect a man that carries God's word, okay? But this, the fact is, and being in evangelism, I know this all too well, the third reason we're going to look at is a lot of people have just slapped been told wrong by the people in ministry of how to get to heaven. Alright? I love the Baptist church. I'm a Baptist, okay? But sometimes we get a little caught up in this pray and come walk down this aisle. So I can write down my number and send it to the convention. Okay? Now, my home church, I thank goodness that I work with a pastor that doesn't see it that way. He shoots it straight and catches a lot of heck for it sometimes, but you're going to get truth out of it. People think that if you believe Jesus is Lord, and that you say this prayer, that you're going to heaven. The demons believe.
That's right.
James 2:19.
Yes.
Told you I don't have my glasses. Y'all got to cut me a break this morning, all right? It's in here somewhere, ain't it? If you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe. They shudder. Okay. When Jesus approached the man that was possessed, and the demon's name was Legion, since his name was Legion, for we are many. What did the demons say to him? Y'all remember?
Torment us.
Huh?
You torment us.
Yeah, don't torment us for the point of time. Remember what they called him? Son of God. Jesus, Son of God. The demons believe that Jesus is Lord.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
The demons believe that he's the Son of God. The demons believe that God raised him from the dead, or he raised himself from the dead. Through God's power, everyone look at it. Okay? The demons believe. Alright? Well, you say to me, wait a minute, what about Romans 10, 9 and 10? Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Okay? This is a living word, alright? And it is extremely relevant today, just as it was when it was written. Alright? Well, one problem is that it was written in a different language. And it doesn't always translate the best in English. But the word believe there is a sense. Let me tell you this story, alright? And this is a true, I may have said, told this here before, if I have, just bear with me. But this is a true story, but there was a high wire guy, you know, entertainer that was at the Niagara Falls, and he stretched his rope across the falls and went and walked across it in a wheelbarrow. Alright, y'all get the idea, right? So he's walking across with his wheelbarrow, and when he gets to the other side, he yells down to the crowd, "Do you believe I can do it again?" And it was said that the screams were said to be so loud that they just yelled, "We believe, we believe, we believe, we believe." He said, "Well, get in the wheelbarrow."
Yeah.
That's what believe means, okay? If you really believe, it's a Greek word, but not enough English words to describe it, but it's the idea of giving everything because you believe so much. I mean, everything. Okay? So just because you believe he's Lord, just because you call him Lord, does not guarantee salvation. Y'all stick with me, guys. We're almost done. Alright. The next thing he tells us, and you see that right after that in the text, that he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on rock." All right. You know, there's a lot of country boys in here, so I'm going to guess that some of us are in construction or have been in construction. Anybody? Am I the only one, really? Okay, a couple of us. All right. So y'all know what footers are in a house? Okay. Alright, the idea of this is the ground is, you know, it's here, you know, you got granite down there, and it's good ground, but the top of it's just sand and dirt. It's not stable. So you got to build a house on rock. This is so important that when they build these high rises in downtown, that's where my construction career was spent, that we would spend months under the ground before we even come out the ground, pouring hundreds of yards of concrete. I mean, hundreds. Putting all kind of metal down in there to hold this building up. Alright? The foundation is so important.
Okay? Yes. Amen.
Now, this is a trailer, so it don't have like a concrete foundation, I'm guessing, but it has some kind of foundation sitting on something. Alright? If we didn't touch the walls at all, and we just wipe the foundation out from under it, what's going to happen to this bad boy? It's going to hit the ground. Hard. Alright? So you have to have a solid foundation. But notice a couple of things, okay? The foundation, the rock. Anybody want to take a wild guess what that is? It's Jesus
Christ.
It's Christ. Okay? It's the truth. Okay? So if you're one, remember, God's going to testify to your own spirit. If you're sitting here going, "I don't know if I'm going to heaven," okay? There's no time like the present.
Yes.
All right. Today's the day to give your life to him. But you have to build your house on the truth. What the other guy build his house on? The sand. So notice a couple of similar things, okay? The house is a metaphor for your Christian life or your faith, however you want to look at it, okay?
Right.
So let's notice a couple of things. Both men had a house. Okay? So no matter what side of the coin you're on, whether you're going to heaven or hell, you have a house. You have a spiritual house. All right? You know, the metaphor, clean the inside of your house. I mean, all kinds of stuff to go with that, okay? You may have a junky house that's about to fall down. You know, you may have a mansion, but you got a house, okay? The storm hit both men. The storm hit both houses, all right? So no matter whether you're with God or not, the storm's coming.
Yeah.
Okay? The rain fell, the river rose, the wind blew and pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. But the one who didn't hear the words of mine was the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the wind blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed, and its collapse was great. If you're sitting here today, all right, and for whatever reason, like I said, if you're not going to heaven, you probably know it. And for whatever reason that we don't want to admit it, you know, whether it's our pride or old sinful nature, Satan's holding us back, whatever it is, it says that you're going to collapse, and your collapse is going to be great. Now, some of us have had a chance to kind of build back our house up. All right? And I'm not saying this to scare anybody, okay? Because God calls us with love, not fear. All right? When I was in ninth grade, one of my good friends, Jerry Pierce, died. He was drinking and hit a house. When I was in 10th grade, let me back up, 7th grade, Seth Russell died. He had a brain aneurysm swimming. 8th grade, memory died. She shot herself because she was pregnant. I told you 9th grade. 10th grade was Holly Anderson. She got in a wreck after been drinking. 11th grade was Brandon Jackson. He overdosed. 12th grade was Seneca Westbrook. He overdosed. I've buried three of my friends since high school. 36 years old. Alright? The grand scheme of things, I'm still young. There is no promise of tomorrow.
That's right.
Don't walk out of this place going, okay, I got tomorrow to make this decision. Hopefully you do, but you may not. Mm-hmm. Okay? Today is the day you can act. Alright? The collapse is going to come. Alright? You're either going to have two births or two deaths. Which one do you want? And Dad said something the other day, I loved it. He said that when you die, you know, when time comes, whatever you believe at the time, okay? But you're going to get a spiritual body. The question is, do you want that body to be in heaven, in glory, with Jesus, washed white as snow?
Amen.
Or do you want that body to be in torment, eternal torture? Hell is not going to be a quick thing where you're going to get tortured for a little while you're close with faith. It's eternal, guys. Whether you think you can or not, we our minds can't comprehend eternal. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Okay? My buddy raised his hand back here, the heroin thing. I know that you were like, maybe you had to say, when is this going to end? And it ended. It's not. If you look in Luke, by one passage where the guy calls out, and it just speaks to the fact that it's going to be, you're going to know what's going on. And if you die before Jesus comes back, you're going to sit in some kind of holding cell. I don't know how to describe it, but you're going to sit there just in anguish and know what's going to happen, and just eternal depression and just being scared. Almost cry sitting here and thinking about all the friends that I've had around me that could be going to hell right now. Because I wouldn't tell them about Jesus, or because they wouldn't refuse to hear the truth. It's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to Ronnie. It's not up to Penny. It's between you and God. You can fool us. You can come to this church. You can serve. You can act like a Christian all day long, and we'll be fooled. Before. You're not going to get around. Let's pray, guys. Father, we just thank you so much for... We thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord. I thank you for your son that... Lord, I wasn't worthy. Lord, a lot of times that's what holds us back is we don't feel worthy to come to you, Lord, but we don't clean up to come to you. We come to you to clean up. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done. Thank you for loving us so much. Guys, I just want to please keep your heads down and your eyes closed for a minute. Just talk to God and just... Here's how it works. If you don't know if you're going to heaven, I've already said it, all right? Chances are you may not be, okay? That's between you and him. But this is important, guys. Talk to God right now and work that out. And if you're not, if you're one of those that aren't sure that, you know, Like I said, you're not going to find a sinner's prayer in the Bible, but it's based on biblical fact that Romans 3:23, that we're sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's the first step. Just believe, realize that you are a sinner. That you don't meet His standards. That you need to get right with Him. And then ask Him. But here's the key. Here's the part where people mess up. Ask Him and be willing to act on it. You just pray with God right now. I don't know where you're at in your life, but it doesn't matter. God has reached His hand out to you. He's knocking at the door. All you have to do is open the door and let Him in. And like He told us in the text, Lord, guys, like our Lord told us in the text, to act on His words. If we don't act on those words, we're like a foolish man. Guys, I'm the only one looking. I can see everybody right now. I'm the only one looking, okay? If you don't know if you're going to heaven, just slip your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to embarrass you. But just kind of slide your hand up where I can see it. So I can pray for you. That's the only reason I want to know. If you're not 100%, just slide your hand up. Thank you. You put your hand down. Guys, keep your heads down and just keep praying. Brother, look up here at me. You raise your hand, look up here at me. Today can be the day. You can nail it down 100%. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It matters what you do from here forward. I don't know. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I don't know if it's pride. That was what it was with me a long time. I didn't want to admit that I was going to hell. Because I've been a good church kid. I don't know if it's that. I don't know what it is. But don't let Satan get in your way today, brother. Pray. He is just. He is faithful. He is a God that says that He will forgive you. And that one day you can walk with Him. Today is the day. You ready to do that today, brother? I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I know that ain't really what we do here, but just let me know so I can come follow them. If that's the decision you made today, okay? Let me know. It's a glorious decision. We need to share it with other people. Alright? Praise Jesus. Lord, we just thank You for today. We thank You for Your word. Lord, it tells us in the Bible that heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents. It doesn't matter if there's a 500 people that come to the Lord or one. It's just a joyous occasion. Lord, we thank You today. We thank You so much. We love You. We pray in Your name. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Guys, I appreciate y'all having me. I hope that God spoke to you. I hope that I didn't get in the way of God's message. If you need anything, let me know. Check out the blog on my website. Check out the donation tab. I'm kidding. I am kidding. Okay. Check out the blog. It's God's Word on there. My phone number, my email address is all on there if I can ever do anything for you. Alright. I also do evangelism, and I do one-on-one pastoral counseling, helping people with drug and alcohol addiction. Okay? So if I can ever do anything, let me know. Alright? Thank y'all.
Alright. Thank y'all. Thank you, God.